Today's Digest for June 28, 2026. 8 stories today spanning AI coding agent security, open source vulnerabilities, the ransomware access broker economy, smarter model routing, and the chip and hardware moves reshaping big tech. A lot of it lands right where developers actually work, from the repositories you clone to the models you call and the machines you run them on. Here's the rundown. Leading off, researchers at Mozilla's zero-day investigative network showed how AI coding agents, Claude Code among them, can be steered into running malware from a GitHub project that contains no malicious code at all. No zero-day, no suspicious command waiting for approval. The trick weaponizes the agent's own helpfulness. The cloned project throws an expected setup error, the agent moves to fix it, and that recovery path quietly pulls attacker-controlled instructions sitting several layers of indirection away from anything the agent actually reviewed. If it works, the attacker lands an interactive shell with the developer's own privileges, exposing environment variables, API keys, and local config. The researchers warn these booby-trapped repositories could spread through fake job postings, tutorials, or a friendly direct message, and argue agents should fully disclose the execution chain behind any setup command before they run it. Next up, a long-running mail utility gets an urgent fix. FetchMail, the tool for pulling mail from remote servers, shipped release candidate 6.6.7 to close a stack buffer overflow in its NTLM authentication code. Maintainer Matthias Andri credits a researcher named Tristan for the find. The flaw affects every release up through 6.6.6, and a malicious or hijacked server could smash the stack by sending overlong fields during authentication, opening the door to remote code execution. The patch build caps each NTLM message at 1 kilobyte and aborts when a limit is exceeded. Can't update yet? You can disable NTLM at compile time or switch to a stronger method. The bigger picture, in Andri's words, is that NTLM leans on obsolete cryptography and will be gone entirely in FetchMail 7.0, matching Microsoft's own advice to walk away from it. Staying with open source security, the popular workflow automation platform N8N has a server-side request forgery problem that is still live in the default configuration. Researcher Akshat Sinha reported that an authenticated user can abuse a workflow import feature to make the server fire off arbitrary requests, including to internal systems it should never touch. Here's the frustrating part. N8N merged protective code back in April, but it sits behind a flag that ships turned off, so a stock install stays exposed. Sinha confirmed it on current stable and pre-release builds, and the vendor declined to call it a new issue, pointing at a fix that exists but isn't switched on. No CVE or advisory ID has been assigned. The practical move is to enable the SSRF protection setting and add network egress filtering so the server can't become a launch point against your own infrastructure. Moving to the threat intel desk, researchers are tracking a stealthy new backdoor called Mystic in use since April. It runs entirely in memory, never writing a file to disk, and carries a built-in kill switch that lets operators wipe it on command and erase the forensic trail before responders arrive. Investigators have linked it to a financially motivated access broker known publicly as Kongtuk, also tracked as Woodnat. That broker's business is breaking into corporate networks and selling the foothold to ransomware crews, and not minor ones. Its customers reportedly include Keylin, Interlock, Resida, Akira, 8Base, and Black Basta. Victims so far span insurance, education, information technology, and professional services. The takeaway is sobering. Disk-based scans will miss this one, so behavioral and in-memory detection is where the fight actually is. On the tooling side, a project worth a look for anyone juggling model costs. Wayfinder Router is an open-source gateway that decides whether a prompt should go to a cheap local model or an expensive hosted one. Most routers ask a classifier to judge each request, adding latency, cost, and randomness to the very step meant to save money. Wayfinder instead scores a prompt offline from its structure length, headings, code blocks, and reasoning cues, producing a complexity score from 0 to 1 that you weigh against your own threshold, with no network call and no second model in the loop. It speaks an OpenAI-compatible API, so it sits in front of Claude, GPT, Gemini, Mistral, or a local Ollama endpoint, and bundles cost tracking, rate limiting, and caching. Keep easy queries local, spend real money only on the hard ones, and do it deterministically. Now to the talent wars. Paul Mead, the Apple vice president who ran the Vision Pro headset and its smart glasses work, is reportedly leaving to join OpenAI's hardware team. It's a meaningful signal. OpenAI is already building an AI device alongside former Apple design chief Joni Ive, something Sam Altman has called more peaceful and calm than an iPhone, and pulling in the executive behind Apple's most ambitious recent hardware deepens that bench. The backdrop at Apple is bumpy. Vision Pro never found a mass market, and the company is pivoting toward cheaper smart glasses next year to take on Meta. Mead's exit reportedly follows a reorganization under incoming chief executive, John Ternus, that left some hardware leaders feeling sidelined. Put it together, and OpenAI is steadily assembling an Apple-grade hardware group while Apple recalibrates what it wants to build. Staying with Apple but shifting to supply chains and politics. Per the Financial Times, Apple is lobbying the Trump administration for permission to buy memory chips from Changshin Memory Technologies, a Chinese firm on the Pentagon's list of companies tied to China's military. Apple isn't outright barred from the deal, but going ahead without Washington's blessing could invite serious blowback. The driver is a global memory shortage that has pushed prices up and forced Apple into hardware price hikes of its own. The bumps include $300 more for a 1TB M5 MacBook Pro, $100 on the entry-level model, and $200 on iPad Pros. The Republican chair of the House China Committee, John Molinar, calls any such deal a grave mistake that would only help Beijing tighten its grip on critical supply chains. Finally, a milestone in high-performance computing. China's new system, Lineshine, has taken the top spot on the latest top 500 list, displacing the American champion El Capitan and giving China the crown for the first time since 2017. Housed at the National Supercomputing Center in Shenzhen, it clocked in about 20% faster than El Capitan, hitting roughly 2.2 exaflops, more than 2 quintillion calculations a second. The surprise is how it got there. Lineshine uses no GPUs at all, relying entirely on conventional CPUs, and it's the first machine ever to clear 2 exaflops on a CPU-only design. But there's a catch. The top 500 benchmark rewards traditional scientific workloads, not modern AI. On a mixed precision AI benchmark, Lineshine placed fourth, where GPU-based systems still lead. Even so, pulling this off under U.S. export restrictions is a real statement about homegrown silicon. That's the rundown for June 28th. AI agents getting played by their own helpfulness, old protocols still biting back, a backdoor built to vanish, and the hardware map redrawing itself in real time. Plenty to keep an eye on this week. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you tomorrow with the next batch.